And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and a very warm welcome to another episode of your favourite LGBT plus show.
In this hour, we are talking All That Jazz with Debbie Withers.
And to Paul Burston about his new book, Black Path.
Plus news, views and outshout.
Six stations.
One show. Welcome to Shout Out. Evening all.
Hello.
Okay. Yeah. Hello, yes. Look, who's that stranger in the corner? Oh,
do you know what, you two? That was a very slick opening. I nearly fell off my chair. That was so professional. Wow.
We try.
I know. Fantastic.
Nice
how are you?
To see you back.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, I have been around.
I've heard you're always around.
I've been ferreting in the background.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, listeners will have heard you on air quite a lot over the last few weeks because you've done lots of pre-recorded stuff and sent it in, haven't you? But you haven't actually been here for about six weeks.
I haven't been here for about 6 weeks. I've been all over the world and a little holiday as well, which was quite nice. Thank you very much. But I did a bit of work for Shout Out while I was over in California too.
And a friend of Shout Out got married. That's why you were in.
I was over at Mr. Justin Utley's wedding.
Yeah,
our songwriter friend. Yeah. Yes, congratulations.
I think we said congratulations on there, didn't we?
So. We did.
They sent the show and BCFM an invite to their wedding, which is really sweet.
That was
of them.
A big mistake, huge mistake, really. Because they could have ended up with 200 volunteers at their wedding that didn't quite know. But
or 45,000 listeners.
Yes, all the 45,000 listeners. There you go. So they got off lucky.
Yes. Yeah. How are you? Is your wrist?
My wrist is
swollen,
a bit sore.
It?
Yes, it's vastly. It looks like some alien hand that done that.
Appendage. Kind of look like you know, like certain crabs have got like one pincer bigger than the other. That is what you look like at the moment.
Thanks.
Not your face, obviously, but your pincers.
Me pincers. Yeah. Go careful, because Mr. Shilton, the other Mr. Shilton's listening, and he's actually scoring us on bad and good bits.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. I must be aware of that.
I got told off because we were... Because you know what we like? We have a love-hate relationship on air really, quite often.
Who, you and me?
No, me and Steph.
Oh, you and Steph, right, yeah.
Well, you and Steph too.
Well, I know
on,
how that
on
feels.
On your show.
I know how that feels, yeah.
But yeah, and the husband was just like, you were really mean to her last week. I was like, well, she did it first. In fact,
she did it first.
Lovely.
So this week I have to say, I love you.
I love you too.
Our very own one-armed bandit.
but you are seriously ill. Well, not seriously ill, but you are genuinely ill. You've got a big swelling. You've had an operation on it, haven't you?
I had my whole wrist replaced. And ouch. Before you jump in there about what caused it, it was carpal tunnel and arthritis.
I was going to say, it was Mitch you had to worry about last week with that one, not me. I didn't say a thing.
No, Mitch jumped in there quite well. She was very quick.
Yes,
almost sharp enough she could have cut herself.
I think technically that's martharitis, isn't it, really, rather than arthritis.
Martharitis. Yes.
Let's get it right.
So, now, how long do we have? I have a little bit of an announcement for you.
Oh.
Have a listen to... hang on, let me stick it on the other channel. Have a listen to this. This year, the Shout Out Listeners Awards are returning, and they're bigger than ever.
Ending with a massive awards ceremony and after party.
The awards are your chance to tell us who you think is the best of the best.
With categories covering everything from best dining experience to best support group or organisation.
From best drag artist to best festival.
Plus, our most prestigious award, the Local Hero of the Year, is back too.
Voting for the Shout Out Listeners Awards is divided into two rounds.
Round one is open nominations. You can vote for anyone in any category you feel is fitting.
When round one closes, we take the top nominations in each category and shortlist them.
Then round two will open for you to vote on those that have been shortlisted.
This year, the winners will be announced at our brand new awards ceremony,
taking place at the Old Market Assembly in Bristol.
But the best bit of all, it's free.
Yes, not only are nominating and voting completely free,
but the awards ceremony itself will be completely free to attend.
The Shout Out Listeners Awards are there to give you a voice, to tell us who you think is your best of the best.
For more information and to nominate, go to shoutoutradio.lgbt/awards.
Round one opens 24th of November.
This is going to be the biggest and the best, isn't it?
Oh, yes. It's going to be huge.
How exciting. Yes.
Now you know what that 2411 was that's been flashing all over the place.
So. The mystery revealed.
Yes. So, but how about that?
Great. So great. Looking forward to it. Can't wait.
So the page is up there. You can't vote yet. It doesn't open until the end of the month, the 24th, as you heard. But yeah, we've given it a revamp, and I can't wait. We're having an award ceremony this year.
No reason why you can't start thinking about who you want to nominate for your favourite award.
But the presentations is where we're holding it as well.
Yes, it's 9th of February, if you want to stick it in your diaries, is the date the award ceremony will take place.
And free for all.
It's free for all, yes, and it will be a live broadcast. It's a special two-hour broadcast, actually, and we've got some lovely people at the Old Market Assembly who are very kindly letting us take over the venue for a couple of hours. So
and an
good
after party, too.
I know, yes. No drinking on air, mind.
No, not for us.
Wait till after.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a sexy after party.
Oh, yes. Are you going to explain why?
Because it's H&H.
Yes. Yes. Steph's very own show, Handbags and High Heels, is going to be hosting the after party. So lots of campy, disco-y music. So,
6-inch heels, I guess. Handbags. Glittery handbags. Yeah.
All courtesy of Ivan.
Yeah. Oh, you're delving into my wardrobe again, are you?
Yes. And it's compulsory for the party to dance around a handbag.
Yeah. Got to be done.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Mm. So now, talking of events, it's that time. This is the first time you've ever done this, isn't it?
No. I have done it before.
What, the events?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
I remember you doing the events?
Yeah.
You normally do news.
I normally do news, but I have done events before.
Oh, well. Should we do some events now?
Yeah, go on then.
So, for the not first time, I thought it was. I'm glad we said that before I actually got to that bit. So, it's Ivan. What have we got this week?
Well, you know what? I'm going to take you from... Before we plunge into the depths of winter, I'm going to take you into the summer. The warmth of summer. Because Weston-super-Mare, their pride organisation, they're having an early bird ticket launch.
But it's November.
I know it's November, but you know what? If you're one for a bargain, get yourself down.
Aren't they like August?
Yeah, something like that. Get yourself down to Cameo. On Saturday the 12th of November, that's the new club down there.
In fact, instead of early bird, could you just call them like egg tickets?
They're almost pre copulation tickets, aren't they? I mean, they're very, very early bird tickets. But anyway, so it's going to be a fab evening. Ricky Withers, who was the sole voice of Pride 2016, she's going to be performing. The whole evening is going to be hosted by Miss Beaver, and Dave Frost is going to be DJing. That's from 8 p.m. and it's free to get in, but they're asking for a donation entry, and obviously I guess that money's going towards Pride as well. But I guess you can get your cheap tickets, so get yourself down to Cameo. Now also, just a reminder, I think Tara mentioned last week, the Bath Film Festival will be underway from this weekend.
Now, they've got an awful lot on.
There are lots of different films, but they do have some LGBT specific themed films as well. Now, there's a number of those. They're being screened from the 5th
Is that a bit like prestigious?
Prestigious, yes, yes, yes. Well, yeah, yeah, well, listen, yeah, I had to voice an ad earlier on last week, and I kept messing that up anyway.
Well, you were using new glue this week.
I have got new glue in. I couldn't get my tongue around prestigious. Anyway, back to the Bath Film Festival, 5th to the 12th of November. Now, they're at different venues around the city, and there's about half a dozen different LGBT-themed films. So if you have a look on our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt, the Bath Film Festival have very kindly posted up details of each and every one of those screenings. So that's up there too. 5th of November, remember, if you don't want your night to go out with a bang, or if you do, you don't fancy fireworks, get yourself down to the Gin Palace. They've got their cabaret night. And do you remember...
That could still mean there's fireworks.
I'm getting to that. Because if you remember Discharge, she's the alternative drag queen, one of the alternative drag queens in the city. She's calling herself Miss Diss at the moment. It's going to be the Devil in Miss Diss and her debut show. So a new persona for her, I think. And she describes it as going to be a nightmare of blues, gothic and punk cabaret that will set you on fire. Hopefully not literally, but that's from 11 p.m. onwards at the Gin Palace on Saturday. There you go. I'm done. Is that enough for you?
Yes. That's very nice and
fantastic.
Succinct. Let's see the big word.
Succinct.
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 Succinct. Is that how you say it?
Succinct.
Succinct.
Get on with the music.
Yeah, okay.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That jazz. From the movie Chicago, yes. Catherine Zeta-Jones and Renée Zellweger with Taye Diggs on piano.
That is how you say it, Taye Diggs.
Mm. Well, I just did.
T-A-Y-E.
Yeah. We'll have people writing in if I got it wrong. It was the Bristolian way of saying it. Just saying. Right, we've got Debbie Withers with us. Hello, Debbie.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Let me just read you out something. Now, anyone into jazz will know of Professor George E. Lewis. Just let me say what he said about Le Diabolique. My favourite band of Irene, Maggie and Joelle is Le Diabolique. It's three people who are totally in tune with each other. They are doing completely different things, but they're doing them in this incredible synergy that you just can't fake that. It's something that when they came together, you saw the same kind of response. What you were seeing was people, women were totally at home with themselves on stage, being open about their personalities, their sexualities, their sounds, communicating in this extraordinary way. Does that just about sum it up?
I think it does, yeah. Yeah, it does. It's an incredible... endorsement of the trio.
It is, yeah, because when I Googled Professor George E. Lewis, he's himself is quite big, isn't he, in the world of jazz?
Yeah, he's a really important composer and also an important academic as well. So he's very, and he also performed with Irena and Joelle and Maggie in quite a famous recording, I think from 1986, called At the Winter Palace. So,
right.
Yeah.
Now you're dragging them to Bristol.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Right. Tell us more about the group and the three girls.
So, well, this is
when
part
did it all start?
Irena and Maggie go back as far as the late 1970s with the feminist improvising group.
It's been going a fair while then.
They have, and they've played together in various different combinations since then. And they met Joelle towards the late 1970s and started playing together, as I say, with different artists in the 80s. So, and then they've been playing together ever since. And Le Diabolique, I think they formed as Le Diabolique in 1990, and they've played a lot of shows around Europe. And this is really an amazing opportunity for audiences in England to see the trio perform, because they've only actually played here once before, and I think it's most likely to be the only chance to see them perform in England.
So. I am correct. It is French for the diabolical.
I think it's the diabolicals
quite,
or the awful.
Quite a cool
the
name, quite,
but it is. To, but they're quite to. International because there's somebody from Scotland, somebody from France, and somebody from Switzerland.
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very international. Can we just play a snippet of something from Le Diabolique?
Yeah. Indeed. Yeah.
Go for it.
Russia,
Now, Debbie, they're not actually singing words. I take it sometimes they do speak in English or French.
Yeah, I think it's the whole kind of palette of
So they use their voices as instruments as well, I take
absolutely.
It, sometimes, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, they use made-up language and also, you know, real language. And using the voice as an instrument, using the whole palette of sound through the voice. Yeah, it's very much part of... Maggie's trademark as a singer, I think, is to use the voice in that way and to make lots of funny, scatty sounds. So sort of scatting with the voice. That's a very, a bad impression of what Maggie does. She does it a lot better than me. But, that's what she does.
Have you been touring the world a lot with them?
I haven't.
Is it truly international, the group?
The group is international. Yeah. I mean, I haven't been touring the world.
Do they have different guises, though? Because Les Diaboliques is just one segment of their identity, I take it. Is that?
It's the band that they have together. But as I say, they do play with lots of different other people. The nature of free improvisation is you tend to have duos and trios with lots of different people. They could have different bands with different artists, but Les Diaboliques is the particular identity and what George Lewis was talking about as well, that particular sense of them communicating with each other, which is what's so special about Les Diaboliques.
Mm-hmm. So does that mean that every show is kind of very unique then?
Absolutely, it is, because you have that uniqueness of the improvised music as well. So really... You know, it is only going to happen once. Often, you know, when you see a band perform, even when it's not improvised music, you know, there's a kind of specialness to that because you're seeing it live. But think about that within the context of improvisation, where they haven't planned what they're going to be performing. They're just getting on stage and doing it. It's an incredibly special and unique thing to be part of as an audience member.
What are they like off stage as opposed to on? Is there an act going on, or are they just exactly as scatty off stage as well?
Well, I wouldn't say they're scatty. They're very, very kind of intelligent together women in many respects. But
that was probably a wrong term, scatty. Yeah. But
I think I used the word scatty when I was talking about the scatting to do the vocal thing. But I think, yeah, I mean, I know Maggie very well because I actually lived with her for a year in West Wales on a community project. But yeah, I know Maggie very well, and I think there's not so much of a divide between everyday life and the stage for Maggie and for Joelle as well. I think Irene is a bit more guarded and a bit more private. She's got a bit more of a mystique about her. So
they're fun to be around by the sound of it.
I'm really excited about being able to go and, you know, see them perform in these four different places as part of this tour. And I'm really excited about being able to spend time with them, because not only are they really fun, lovely people and really fascinating people, you know, one of my great interests is the history of, you know, feminist music making. So it's very much in my own kind of research interests. But they're also just incredible musicians as well. So this is a real opportunity to see, you know, three women they've been playing music their whole lives. You know, Joelle is 65. It's her 40th anniversary this year of being on the road as a musician. Irena is 75. They've got all that experience and all that knowledge. I'm just really excited about...
It's quite some feat to be that age and still performing on the stage.
Totally.
I mean, it's quite a stressful thing, being on the stage.
Yeah, I mean, it is a really big deal, and it's a massive deal as well for Bristol to have this opportunity to have this incredible trio come and perform. So I really hope that people of Bristol will come down to the Arnolfini on the 20th of November to see Les Diaboliques perform. And not only to see them perform on stage, there's also an incredibly special opportunity to attend a seminar from 3 to 4 p.m. before the evening performance, where the trio will be talking about their lives and reflecting on their careers. And that's also a really significant thing. So in terms of, you know, the history of women's music making and also, you know, LGBT music making as well. So Irena is famously one of the first out lesbian jazz pianists, You know, that was a big thing in the 60s and 70s, Irena being out and being visible on stage as a lesbian at that time. And she's remained very, you know, political about that as well. You know, that sort of thing's referenced in the George Lewis piece. So it's in terms of role models, if you like, to be able to have you know, women of that stature and that experience, to be able to look up to these older women, older queer women, it's I think quite significant. Mm.
It's nice to see, though, that age doesn't seem to be a boundary like it did when I was younger, and it's like the 60s or 40s, the 70s or 50s, people are tending to live full lives now, aren't they? And this is nice to see, good examples of people just living a really good, fun, full life through music.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, hopefully this gives us all hope. But I think it's important for women as well to be on stage. I think that's part of the reason why I was so determined to get the money together to bring this trio to England, is to be able to see older women perform on stage.
So
I think
when
is really important.
So give us some of the details. You said it's at the Arnolfini, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
And when's it taking place?
20th of November.
Cool. And if people want to like get tickets, and it is a ticketed event, isn't it?
It is a ticketed event, and advance booking is definitely advised. So yeah, go to the Arnolfini website. So arnolfini.org.uk, and you'll be
a lovely venue, the Arnolfini.
It is. It's a fantastic venue, and we're also hiring a really fancy grand piano for Irena Schweitzer to play. So not only is one of the greatest jazz improvising pianists of the 20th and 21st centuries coming to Bristol, she's going to be playing on a really tasty piano. So nice. this is a really fantastic opportunity.
A Steinway, by any chance?
It's not a Steinway, but it's I don't know. It's something from the Piano Shop Bath. We're hiring it from them. Right. So yeah, and yeah, it's going to be.
It does actually make a difference.
Of course,
the piano. Sing at Bristol performed up at the Vic Rooms, Victoria Rooms, and they've got Steinway there, and the quality of it is, you know, so it does make it well worth it.
Yes.
So tickets are obviously on sale now.
They
I
are
presume,
on sale
and
yes.
selling fast.
They are selling fast, and if you want to book for the seminar event is free with the evening ticket. So, but you do need to book your place on the seminar. You know, the panel discussion that's happening in the afternoon. So,
what about your own website, so that people can get more information on you and keep in touch with the scene?
Yeah. Okay. I'll give you the website of the blog that is being used to promote this particular event, which is lay-diabolique-uk.tumblr.com. Even
lay is L-E-S, I believe.
Like the French, L-E-S. Lay Diabolique. Yes. So yeah, if you type in Lay Diabolique,
it'll come up.
Improvisation.
It's it should be there. So
well, it sounds like it's going to be a fascinating event.
It will be,
And you'll have to let us know. Have to let us know how it goes. So
I will.
But whether you're listening in Bristol, Froome, or Glastonbury, it sounds like it's well worth booking your ticket if you go into that one.
Yes.
So do check that out. As always, we'll make sure that we put the links on our website as well. So if you're like me and couldn't spell Lay Diabolique, you can just go click on something.
Yeah, I think it is listed on the Shout Out website. I put it on the Shout Out website.
Yes, I think the event is, isn't it? Yeah.
I just want to say, even if you've never been to a free improvisation concert before and you don't really know what it is, don't worry about it. It's not some kind of abstract weird thing. It's something that it will be. You'll get the sense of it's, you know, something that hasn't been freshly prepared and here's one I made earlier, but at the same time there will be familiar elements to it. There'll be different musical styles coming through, parts of everyday life, performance, theatre.
If you've not done it, it's something new, something to enjoy.
Exactly,
it?
It's something radically new because it's never happened before and it will never happen exactly in that way again. Mm. So it's also an opportunity to be part of something really unique as an audience. Mm. So yeah, please
it's lovely
do
to
come.
See how passionate you are about it as well. It really does come across,
yeah,
doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
So, well, I'm so excited. It's an amazing. I'm really genuinely very, very excited about this. It's a real event. It's a massive coup. It's hugely significant.
Well, thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.
Telling us. Yeah.
Cool. Right. Stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. News headlines are up next.
The Shout Out podcast.
That's an interesting choice.
A touch of velvet, a sting of brass. Mood mosaic. Terry, you will know that was used on one of the pirate stations. Which one? Your starter for 10.
It was Radio Caroline South, wasn't it?
You got it.
From the MV Mi Amigo.
Yes.
Anchored off Frinton-on-Sea.
Yes.
What was it? In the mid-60s. A jingle type.
It was kind of, they used to use lots of theme tunes in the 60s for yeah. things, you know, well, everyone did.
Every show had a theme tune in and out, and also themes at the top of the hour where they did the news and the
you
weather.
You mean Shout Out didn't invent that?
No, well, jingles today, you don't get those sung jingles anymore, do you?
It's because they're blooming expensive.
Oh, they are. They are. That's very true.
You do on a Monday morning.
You do on BCFM, on H&H. You do still get those lovely 60s jingles. Yeah,
to be fair, I have got about three quarters of our cast singing our jingle when the station computers decided not to work every now and again.
That's very true. You'll have to resurrect them at some point.
So, anyway, Tara and Terry are here.
Hello. Gosh, hello.
That could be a bit of a tongue twister, couldn't it? But let's get some news headlines.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 3rd of November.
The Guardian newspaper reports today that the Roman Catholic Church in the UK, along with the Salvation Army and some agencies of the Church of England, are to apologise to unmarried mothers, who in the period between the Second World War and the changes brought about by feminisation, feminists and sexual liberation, were pressured to give up the children for adoption. Cardinal Vincent Nichols, speaking for the Catholic Church, said, "Sadly, for unmarried mothers, adoption was considered to be in the best interest for the mother and child because of the associated stigma and lack of support for lone parents." Documentary telling the stories of some of the women who gave up an estimated 500,000 children is to be broadcast on ITV on the 9th of November. Adoption reached a peak in 1968 when more than 16,000 babies born to unmarried mothers was handed over to new families. Some women in the ITV programme will reveal that they were offered no alternative to adoption and were sometimes mistreated. The women speaking of the shame and guilt, but added that decisions were taken about them and the children without proper informed consultation. The advent of the second wave feminism and the sexual liberation movement changed the landscape in the 1970s, and the maltreatment of unmarried mothers began to diminish.
It's a croeso to all our listeners in South Wales. The West Country has strong links with the cities of Cardiff and Swansea, so it's with pleasure that we report that Sparkle Swansea, a major trans-led celebration event, is taking place at the National Waterfront Museum in the city on Saturday the 26th of November between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m, with a later evening celebration available on a ticket-only basis. Organisers include Stonewall Cymru, the Unity LGBT Centre and the City Council for Swansea.
Womankind in Bristol have been operating women-specific therapy services for more than 20 years and have considerable experience in the field. Now they are expanding their remit with a new therapeutic group for transgender women, which will run for an initial period between January and July 2017. Venue will be in central Bristol and will be fully disabled accessible. To register your interest, call Womankind on 0117 916 6461.
Compassion in Dying is a campaigning organisation dedicated to ensuring people make the decisions that are right for them in end-of-life care. At some point, all of us will need to face how we want to be treated during end-of-life times. The organisation has teamed up with LGBT charities Opening Doors London and Stonewall to this week launch a guide called Planning Ahead for the LGBT Community. In a statement, the three organisations explained, "This resource will inform and empower LGBT people to think about and record our wishes for future care and treatment, in case we lose capacity to make or communicate decisions for ourselves. It includes how to ensure that we get the treatment that is right for us and that the people we trust are involved in decisions about our care. Visit compassionindying.org.uk to request your free copy."
Ben Howlett, the Conservative MP for Bath, has voluntarily submitted himself for questioning by the detectives after a complaint was made about sexual assault in the city following a Eurovision Song Contest party earlier in the year. The complaint was made by a male couple. Mr Howlett is a supporter of marriage equality and has not voted against LGBT civil rights in Parliament, according to Gay Star News.
And finally, the gay human rights campaigner Peter Tatchell has been awarded the Gandhi Peace Prize in recognition of his 50 years of political activism. Mr. Tatchell accepted the award in an event in London, and in a typically self-effacing speech, Peter said, "I dedicate my acceptance of this award to the heroic people of West Papua and their national liberation struggle against Indonesian colonisation and military occupation." He said, "Since annexation by Jakarta in 1969, at least 100,000 and possibly as many as 400,000 West Papuans have died." Visit petertatchell.net for more information on Peter's campaigns.
For these news stories and more, check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Tara Fraser.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
This year, the Shoutout Listeners Awards are returning, and they're bigger than ever.
Ending with a massive awards ceremony and after-party.
The awards are your chance to tell us who you think is the best of the best.
With categories covering everything from best dining experience to best support group or organisation.
From best drag artist to best festival.
Plus, our most prestigious award, the Local Hero of the Year, is back too.
Voting for the Shoutout Listeners Awards is divided into two rounds.
Round one is open nominations. You can vote for anyone in any category you feel is fitting.
When round one closes, we take the top nominations in each category and shortlist them.
Then round two will open for you to vote on those that have been shortlisted.
This year, the winners will be announced at our brand new awards ceremony,
taking place at the Old Market Assembly in Bristol.
But the best bit of all, it's free.
Yes, not only are nominating and voting completely free,
but the awards ceremony itself will be completely free to attend.
The Shoutout Listeners Awards are there to give you a voice, to tell us who you think is your best of the best.
For more information and to nominate, go to shoutoutradio.lgbt/awards.
Round one opens 24th of November.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh, I see. Jazz. Woof.
A bit out of breath. Come on. Part two.
I like being clapped. That's quite nice. I presume that's the Glenn Miller version.
Of course.
Yeah, in the mood. So it's had loads of people do it. Like the Papini Sisters have done it quite recently.
Yes, they did. Yeah,
they do a lovely
version. Yeah, they do actually. Yeah. This is more my generation.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. Well, I noticed that because you were dancing around the studio to it.
I was, yes. Yes. Pretending I was blowing into something. Something imaginary.
So, have you ever played the trumpet?
Have I ever played a trumpet?
Yeah. I learned it.
Yes, I did. Yeah. Yes, I did. When I was in the Navy.
Oh. It's not easy to play.
No, it's not.
No.
You tend to end up with a lot of spittle.
Yeah.
Hmm. Paul, are you there?
I'm here.
Paul Burstyn, you're quite prolific at writing. When did you first, what was your first book? Is it back in 1995?
My first book? My first book was in 95, yes, it was, yeah.
Ah, there you go. Oh, I did my homework. And yeah, I think you wrote two, didn't you, in 1995, and then it slowed up slightly. But your latest one,
fascinating. The latest one.
It's quite scary. The write up. It's how well do you really know those closest to you? A dark tale of love and lies. Tell us more, Paul.
Well, the Black Path is my fifth novel. I've written 10 books, but five novels.
This is the fifth one. The first four novels were kind of black comedy. This is my first novel that's not a black comedy. It's a thriller. It's very dark. It's set in the town where I was born and grew up, which is called Bridgend in South Wales, which is famous for teenage suicides. And
but are you from Yorkshire, aren't you, originally?
I was born in York, yeah.
Right, and then York,
but I grew up in Bridgend in South Wales.
Ah, so that's where the book is set, isn't it?
That's where the book is set, right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and
it's a story about a very, very damaged young woman who's married to a soldier, because the town is very, it's a really big army recruitment town. So the cemetery very close to where I grew up, the house where I grew up in, the cemetery is full of soldiers' graves for, like, you know, going back generations. So all of those things kind of fed into the idea for the story.
Is it based anything around your life while you were in Wales? Is there anything, have you tapped into anything?
There's a little bit, but there's a lot of me in the female protagonist, Helen, the main character. There's a lot of me in her. She's bullied a lot as a child, which I was bullied a lot as a child. She's very, very insecure. She doesn't really know herself. She's 25 in the course of the novel. When I was 25, I was a lot like that. I'm not like that anymore because I'm 50 now. I've grown up and changed a lot. But
how time flies.
I was very similar to her in lots of ways, you know. So I identified with her a lot.
Mm. What sort of digging did you have to do? Have you got a lot of experience from South Wales and people's lives over there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it's where I grew up, and I go there a lot. My family is there. I have two sisters, one of whom is much younger than me because my mum remarried. There's a big age gap. And I spent a lot of time socialising with her. And a lot of the characters in the book are drawn from those nights out that we had together, 10, 15 years ago. And the sort of social observation in the book comes very much from going out with her and her friends and seeing their view of their lives lived out in that town, which is a very, very, you know, Bridgend's a very interesting place because it used to be a really thriving market town. There was mining, there was coal, there was a big Ford factory. There was lots and lots of business going on there when I was growing up, but now all that's gone. Mm. And now you've got this town which is basically, it's a bit of a ghost town in many ways.
Is the book set in today's time of Bridgend?
Yes, it's set now. It's set in the current time, okay. Yeah. And it's quite desolate. And then you go there on a Saturday afternoon and there's actually nobody there and half the shops are boarded up. And then on Saturday night, it's suddenly full of people from all the local valley towns, and they've all come down to get drunk and have fights, basically.
Oh dear!
there's a lot of tribalism and a lot of alcohol fueled aggression going on, and that kind of fed into the idea of the story, because the story's about this Helen who is living there, and there's her husband who is a soldier who's in Afghanistan, and the story that novel works is they're both kind of living in war zones in different ways. And while she is surviving there, he's in Afghanistan and he's befriended by an openly gay soldier who's a lot younger than him, and he's forced into a position where he has to defend this soldier, and which of course leads to rumours and accusations about their relationship. So there's a whole kind of it's very difficult because it's a thriller, so I can't give too much away.
Yeah, it's always a hard thing, isn't it?
That's the problem, because I've read the premise of the book, and it is difficult to say anything on air without giving the story away.
Yeah, of course.
It's been very well held, hasn't it? I mean, even you've been listed for the Guardian's Not the Booker Prize, I believe, as well.
Yeah, which is amazing. I was overwhelmed by that.
It was only published in September, so I mean, it must be over the moon about that.
No, I was completely over the moon, and also, W.H. Smith has two different companies. There's the High Street and there's the Travel. So the bookshops which are on the high street and the bookshops which are in train stations, airports, etc. And the travel element of Smith's, most of their books are sold, it's been in their chart since July. because they did a pre-publication promotion on it, so it's been in their charts since July, and it's still there now. It's number 33 now, which is the lowest it's been, but it was number one at one point. So
gosh.
It's amazing. Gosh,
that must put a smile on your face when you write a book and you see it hit number one in the charts.
God, way to go,
now,
Paul.
I presume it's available via the normal kind of outlets like Amazon and Waterstones and all that lot, is it?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Well, listen, it's been lovely to catch up with you. I believe you're still on a Plarrey tour at the moment, are you not?
I'm in Edinburgh at the moment, yeah. We're literally in the middle of the tour. We're doing a 14-day tour around the country funded by the Arts Council. We've been to Hastings, Brighton, Bishop Stortford.
Lord, you're getting around a bit, aren't you? So
now we're in Edinburgh,
I just thought we'd mention that because we have spoke to you before when we were talking about the Plarrey stuff, haven't we? I just thought, in case listeners recognise your voice and couldn't figure where it came from, it might be worth mentioning. But
I get around.
But listen, it's lovely to catch up with you, and congratulations on the book. As always, we'll make sure we list all the details on our website as well. And enjoy the rest of your tour.
Thank you very much, I will.
The Shout Out Podcast.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
See, I think you're actually playing Guess the Ad.
Guess whose ad?
The ad. That was Guinness.
Yes, it was. Greg Leone by Kenneth Prada Orchestra.
Not that I drink Guinness, but,
No, it's not my.
It is a great read. I read it cover to cover on a flight, so I couldn't put it down. Brilliant.
Gosh, you must be a fast reader.
Well, it was a 10-hour flight, so not that fast a reader. Yeah, you know, it's a long haul flight. No, great.
Can you tell us some stuff without giving it?
So I only had half an ear on what Paul was telling you, so I'm not quite sure exactly what he's told you. But it's set in Bridgend, which is his hometown, and it doesn't paint Bridgend in a particularly
I gathered that.
I said to Paul. A few weeks back when I was asking him to come on the show, I said to him, has the Bridgend Tourist Board been in touch with you? and he laughed and joked about that because I'm not sure whether they'll let him back in the city again. But it's focused on an army husband and wife.
Yeah.
And both of them end up having relationships with other people. Whilst the husband is away and while the wife is still in Bridgend. There is an LGBT element in the book, very much so.
It's not specifically an LGBT book,
there is a big theme running through it. And I'm not going to say too much, but all I will say is she ends up having a relationship with a woman, but I'm not going to say anything about that relationship. And he ends up having a relationship with a man, and I'm not going to say anything about that relationship. And you can guess. I'll leave it to you. Draw your own conclusions.
Welsh gays.
I didn't say anything about gay. I just said relationship. So there you go. I'm not going to give too much away because it's a great book.
Cool. Well, on sale now. Go check it out. Anyway, that's it, though, I'm afraid. We're out of time.
Ooh. Been a pleasure snuggling up to your ears for the last hour.
If you want to listen again...
or to any of our previous shows...
go to shoutoutradio.lgbt.
And give yourself a shout-out fest.
Until next time.
Take care. Have a great week.
Say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I think that was really slick. Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.